Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2493, with a release date of Friday, August 8th, 2025. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. An international partnership creates a satellite to aid disaster response. Hams honor the Navajo code talkers of World War II and finding a 20-meter dipole in a cornfield. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2493 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Our top story takes us to space, where a satellite created through the partnership of two nations will provide a window into some of the natural disasters plaguing us here on Earth. Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF, has the details.
An unprecedented joint satellite project between the Indian Space Research Organization and NASA is giving researchers the hope of better studying the Earth's climate and helping improve responses to natural disasters by monitoring the most subtle changes on Earth, including its glaciers and wetlands. The satellite is known as NISAR, the NASA ISRO Synthetic Aperture Radar Mission. Its launch aboard an ISRO spacecraft on the 30th of July from the Satish Dhawan Space Center centered on its mission to send microwaves to collect data from different surfaces on the planet. When processed, the data will be visible in an exceptionally high resolution. An estimated 80 terabytes of data will be collected daily. Scientists have said that the method has, quote, unprecedented accuracy, end quote. Researchers and governments around the world will be able to view the data via a cloud platform where they will have open access. The project is being praised as the first collaborative satellite mission of its kind between the Indian and US space agencies. This is Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
A Texas telecommunications company asking for FCC permission to use amateur radio frequencies between 430 and 440 megahertz has submitted a response to the U.S. regulator defending itself against concerns from ham radio operators over interference. The letter, written by AST SpaceMobile, assures the agency that its satellites are designed to, quote, mitigate interference, end quote. The company also said it would shut down its use of the band if interference was found. The company's filing, reported in the PC Magazine website, reads in part that the FCC has found that AST SpaceMobile's prior demonstration of no interference conformed to ITU regulations and are, quote, sufficient to authorize a limited non-conforming use, end quote. The PC Magazine website noted that the FCC has received more than 2,500 comments in protest of the company's proposed use of the band. Elsewhere in space, two more hams have arrived aboard the ISS after a brief delay of their launch, as we hear from Travis Lisk, N3 ILS.
NASA's SpaceX Crew 11 arrived at the International Space Station in the early hours of Saturday, the 2nd of August, after a launch that suffered a one-day weather delay due to poor weather. Commander Zena Cardman, KJ-5-CMN, and pilot Mike Fink, KE-5-AIT, were accompanied by two mission specialists, JAXA astronaut Kamiya Uyi and Roscosmos cosmonaut Oleg Platonov. During their seven-month tenure aboard the orbiting laboratory, the team will conduct experiments on the impact of microgravity on bacteria-killing viruses. They will also study plant cell division and human stem cells. The ISS assignment marks the first time in space for both Zena Cardman and Oleg Platonov. This is Travis Lisk, N3 ILS.
Although the 14th of August has been designated as Navajo Code Talkers Day, a group of proud amateur radio operators are taking several days to honor this special unit of brave Marines who served in the U.S. military during the Second World War. Few of these hams could be prouder than Herb Goodluck, N7HG, whose late father, John V. Goodluck, had been one of the Marines who used their own Navajo language to craft a wartime code that could not be broken. Herb will be amongst those calling QRZ from the 10th to the 15th, using the call sign N7C. Operators will be using CW, phone, and FT8. Additional details, including operating frequencies, can be found on QRZ.com. The hams will be operating from Window Rock, Arizona, at the Navajo Tribal Park and Veterans Memorial. In rural India, students at a school for boys are being rewarded for their faith in the technical expertise of amateur radio operators. The Lightning Arrestor project they have been collaborating on for several years with the hams is ready to be considered for a patent. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us what comes next.
Leave it to ham radio operators to know how destructive and even fatal a lightning strike can be. That's why a number of years ago, educators at a school in rural West Bengal, India, sought input from local hams for a project by physics students to help protect farmers when they were caught in the fields during storms and lightning strikes. According to reports in the Indian media, the homebrew affordably built device, which resembles a bicycle's wheel, has been evaluated by the Central Power Research Institute. It also received recognition in 2020 at the National Children's Science Congress, a national showcase for innovative technology devised by youngsters between the ages of 10 and 17. Newsline described the simple device in its first report on the project in November of 2019, noting that it affixes a wheel-like component to the top of a high bamboo pole. An electrical wire connects it to metal in the earth to ground it. The secretary of the West Bengal Radio Club said in media reports that 40 such devices have already been put in place at 40 locations throughout northern Bengal, where the fields for the farmers and their animals are moist and marshy. Now the waiting begins. The Times of India reports that the patent application for the project was filed on July 27. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
A long-standing and well-respected member of the amateur radio community has become a silent key. Frank Butler, W4RH, had been active in ham radio since the 1940s, when he received his commercial and his amateur licenses. He spent part of his professional career as a broadcast engineer at several stations. By many accounts, he gave back generously to amateur radio over many decades. He served for nearly 30 years as the Southeastern Division Director of the ARRL until he stepped down in 2007. He had begun his service with the league in 1957 as communications manager for the Western Florida section. According to a posting on the Facebook page of the Alabama section of the ARRL, Frank became a silent key on Tuesday, the 5th of August. He was 100 years old. On March 6th of this year, on the occasion of his becoming a centenarian, the Okaloosa County Board in Florida proclaimed the date Frank M. Butler Jr. Day. Hams throughout the division and beyond posted on social media, recalling him as a gentleman and a frequent and prominent guest at Huntsville and other hamfests. His generous spirit was also widely known. He was a member of the ARRL Maxims Society, which recognizes donors for their extraordinary monetary gifts to the league. A museum project is being hosted online when the ARRL is tracking amateur radio's life story and its impact on society. We have more details from George Zafiropoulos, KJ6VU.
What began as a project of Chuck Penson, WA7ZZE, is slowly growing into Radio Alpha, a ham radio museum and research resource hosted by the ARRL. The historian's vision is to build a tool where documents detailing amateur radio equipment and technology and its evolution can be accessible to everyone in a central location. Announcing the project on the ARRL website, Chuck wrote, "This database will be a living resource, regularly updated and expanded through ongoing research and community contributions, fostering a deeper appreciation and understanding of amateur radio's profound impact on communication, technology, and society." Chuck is looking for volunteers to assist him in building and collecting the content, especially hams with deep knowledge of particular product brands or operating modes. The project is being supported by the ARRL's Historical Preservation Fund. If you're interested in assisting him, he can be emailed at radioalpha@arrl.org. That's radioalpha, one word, @arrl.org. To see how the collection has already grown, visit the link in the text version of this week's Newsline script at arnewsline.org. This is George Zafiropoulos, KJ6VU.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the AH6LE repeater in Beaver Creek and Wilsonville, Oregon, on Sundays at 6 p.m. local time. Viewers of the Ham Nation podcast shared a proud moment with Newsline's Young Ham of the Year, and Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, is here to tell us about it.
On Wednesday, July 30th, it was my honor to present the 2025 Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award to Katie Campbell, KE8LQR. As Katie will be in Germany as a foreign exchange student for her senior year in high school on the weekend of the Huntsville Ham Fest, we presented the award live on Ham Nation, a first for us. Our corporate sponsors, Jesu USA, Heil Ham Radio, and Radio Waves Antennas, will have some gifts to show their appreciation. Appearing with Katie, along with our Ham Nation regulars, Josh Nass, KI6NAZ, Amanda Alden, K1DDN, and Gordon West, WB6NOA, were Young Ham of the Year Committee Chairman Mark Abramovich, NT3V, Judge Rich Moseson, W2VU, Newsline Editor Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, Newsline's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, DX Engineering's Tim Duffy, K3LR, and Huntsville HamFest Chairman Mark Brown, N4BCD. If you missed it live, you can watch the replay on YouTube on the Ham Radio Crash Course channel, or just type Ham Nation in the YouTube search bar. Our sincere congratulations go out to Katie for her amazing contributions to the amateur radio hobby and service. We're looking forward to next March when we again open nominations for the 2026 Young Ham of the Year Award. Again, many thanks to our corporate partners, Jesu USA, Heil Ham Radio, and Radio Waves, as well as you, our listeners, and the folks who continue to nominate the best of the best young radio amateurs. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
This next story is straightforward and, we hope, easy to understand. But it's about a radio-transmitted message that is deliberately, very deliberately, cryptic. Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, tells us why.
The Enigma machine that the Germans used during World War II to create encoded secret messages is about to be put back into action. KPH, the maritime radio station in California, will be transmitting messages using Enigma encryption for broadcast via both CW and RTTY. Listeners copy the message and then, using an actual Enigma machine they may have in their shack or a simulated one available online, work to decrypt the message, which will be sent in groups of 5 letters each. This annual tradition recalls the hard work of World War II-era cryptographers who ultimately cracked the code. Certificates are awarded for proof of successful decode, first to decode, and for use of original or replica hardware. The broadcast begins at 2000 UTC on the 30th of August on all KPH, CW, and RTTY frequencies. For more details, visit the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
In the world of DX, two scout stations are finishing up their activations. Scout station CR5OCEAN is on the air until the 9th of August, operating from the National Maritime Scout Camp Oceanos at the Alcaiva Dam in southern Portugal. Be listening on 40 and 20 meters. QSL via CR6CNE. In Slovenia, another scout station, S50ZLET, is being operated by members of Radio Club Cezana, S59ABL, and Radio Club Koper, S59CST, until the 8th of August for the Slovenian National Jamboree. See QRZ.com for details. Operators with the Summers Island Expedition, IOTA number EU133, are on the air until the 14th of August. They're using the call sign RI1E. Listen for Vasily, R7AA, and Mikhail, RA1ALA, operating CW, single sideband, and the digital modes on 40 through 10 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Special event station 9A169 Tesla is on the air until the 31st of December, marking the 169th anniversary of the birth of Nikola Tesla. See QRZ.com for QSL details. In Canada, members of the Atlantic Coast DX and Contest Group are celebrating the 100th anniversary of the International Amateur Radio Union by going on the air throughout August as CG9IARU. They will activate POTA, Worldwide Flora and Fauna, and Canadian Historical Sites on the air locations. See QRZ.com for QSL and other details. You don't need to be a farmer to celebrate corn season this time of year. Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, introduces us to one home brewer in Iowa who says it's not just corn season, but antenna season.
The smiling radio operator greeting viewers of his YouTube videos calls himself Cornfield Kevin. And yes, Kevin, K0KLB, is outstanding in his field, which happens to be an Iowa cornfield. There, in August of 2022, Kevin harvested two single sideband contacts between Iowa and Texas while operating on 5 watts using a 20-meter vertical antenna fashioned from corn stalks. He called his creation the Corntenna. This year, Kevin is making the CUSOs and the corn pop all over again. In his latest video, he shows how he put corn stalks back to work recently, this time using stalks from a fresh harvest to build a horizontal 20-meter dipole. He tested the Corntenna over a 2-day period and sadly made no contacts on the first day. The next day, after cutting fresh new stalks, he worked his brother Bruce, KE0QQE, on 10 meters. Bruce, who was nearby, gave him a 5-5. Then, a POTA activator in Ohio copied him and gave him a 4-4, telling him he was, quote, down in the weeds, end quote. Well, those weren't exactly weeds Kevin was standing in, but the POTA op was correct about the challenging RST. Nonetheless, satisfied with his project, Kevin is sharing the build on his YouTube channel, Ham Radio QRP K0KLB. While you're there, check out Kevin's earlier project for the original vertical Corntenna. After all, when you're a ham on a farm in Iowa, every day can be field day. This is Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
We hope you've been enjoying the ham radio haikus that our listeners have sent in. Have you written one yet? The Newsline Haiku Challenge is as easy as writing a QSL card. Now, we can only accept the correct haiku format, that is, a 3-line verse with 5 syllables in the first line, 7 in the second, and 5 in the third. Submit your work on our website at arnewsline.org. Each week's winner gets a shout-out on our website, where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, AMSAT News Service, Analyst IP, the ARRL, CBS, CNN, David Behar, K7DB, Facebook, 425DX Bulletin, the FCC, the Jeffrey Don Foundation, Maritime Radio Historical Society, NASA, Okaloosa County Board, PC Magazine, shortwaveradio.de, the Times of India, the Wireless Institute of Australia, YouTube, and you, our listeners. That's all for the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its materials even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights reserved.